My name is Alan Vujicin. I'm a co-manager of Gibson Farms in Siletz, and I want to thank the chair and the members of the commission, as well as the county council, for the opportunity to speak with you today. I have some input regarding Measure 2177. I really want to thank the county for their continued active engagement with our residents on this important issue and for your leadership going forward. My concerns about Measure 2177's constitutionality, its ambiguous language, and its possible harmful consequences still stand, even given the results of our election. These concerns are made more acute by the possibility that it could soon come into effect as ordinance. And I think that can cause real harm and hardships for Lincoln County families. So in that context, I'd urge swift and efficient action on the part of the county to do what's possible to ensure certainty and safety to our residents regarding this counterproductive measure. Going further, we intend to participate in any inclusive and meaningful constructive community dialogue on the important role and the practices of agriculture and forestry in Lincoln County, as well as other natural resource industries. And most immediately, we would like to ensure that local families engaged in farming, forestry, fishing, and other pursuits that are so vital to our county, both culturally, economically, and ecologically as well, are not harmed by decisions arising from this process. And that's my input. Thank you.
Thank you.
Maria Sous.
First of all, I'd like to thank the commissioners and the county attorney, Wayne Billman, for wanting to make sure that whatever proceedings follow now lead to a complete understanding to what the measure is about and what its implications are. And also about expressing your disapproval of preemption laws, which of course you can't change, but to know about that. And the rest of what I want to say is to clarify once and for all what the measure is about and what it isn't, and how it relates to constitutionality. So we have that the people have spoken and determined that they do not want aerial pesticide spraying in the county. Everybody knows what aerial pesticide means. Never before has there been a question about it. It is spraying pesticides by helicopter, airplane, or drone. And the term pesticides includes herbicides. Aerial pesticide spraying is done predominantly to kill vegetation that competes with the growth of industrial forests of Douglas fir. It is not done predominantly to combat pests. So the amounts of pesticides that are sprayed are much larger than what it would take to combat pests. It is time for discussion on the measure just approved by the people of Lincoln County to be about what the measure actually does and not about whatever a company paid to defeat it can think up to turn voters against it. We went through that already. People in Lincoln County have died of cancer due to aerial pesticide spraying. They have had miscarriages due to aerial pesticide spraying, and they have given birth to babies with birth defects due to aerial pesticide spraying. Wildlife is affected the same way as humans are. The people have a constitutional right to self-government. Today, that right is being denied through preemption laws and used specifically to protect profits derived from corporate projects. Aerial pesticide spraying is an example of such a project. Fracking is another one. We luckily, so far, do not have any of that here. It is unsafe for people and wildlife to live near projects such as aerial pesticide spraying or fracking. The Constitution of the State of Oregon and that of many other states declares that ensuring the safety of the people is one of the fundamental functions of government, It does not declare anywhere that protecting the profits of corporations is also one of its functions, and much less so a fundamental one. Any law that protects the profits of corporations at the expense of the safety of the people is unconstitutional. It is time that we pay attention to our Constitution, which additionally declares that all men, when they form a social compact, are equal in rights. It is unconstitutional to preempt the people's right to safety in order to protect the profits of a fraction of those people. If I spray a person with orange juice, that person has the right to sue me. The people as a whole, never having been asked for their consent, have been subjected to aerial pesticide spray, drift, and contamination for more than 30 years. Yet according to preemption law and to the Forest Practices Act, they have no right to sue companies again engaged in aerial pesticide spray.
You have about 30 seconds. Okay.
In drafting this ordinance, we have presented the people with no more than what is their lawful constitutional right. Through their vote, they have now claimed that right, a right which they should never have been deprived of to begin with. That's all I have to say.
I'd ask you not to applaud on these, because this is constituent input, and there's different opinions in here. I'd rather not see sides taken by applause. So,
Peter, is there anybody else on the list?
Peter Bregman, what's next?
Peter Bregman.
Thank you very much. The applause is not very welcome, because that's my point, gentlemen. You had a 22% vote account of people that live in this area that actually voted. 50% of those approximately voted against and 50% voted in favor of it. However, if you look at the makeup of the population here, it used to be all farming. Today it's turning into urban area. Obviously, the urban area is continuously growing, and so the power of those people are going to be exhibited in this particular measure. My question, first of all, if you look at that, when you take 22% of your vote, and half of those are for and half of those are, that means that only 11% of your total population was in favor of this measure. The others didn't speak out. I'd like to be correct if I'm wrong.
I believe the turnout was 42%, I thought, not 22.
Yeah. Was it 42?
Yeah.
And I misunderstood. Yes. Okay, then fine. The numbers are different.
Of the registered voters.
Yes. Oh, the registered voters. Now, I'm not one of those registered voters, by the way. I'm not able to vote because I'm an import. And I still live in two places. But I do have an interest in the farm community. But the numbers are far from being all in favor of no spray. Then, of course, the other issue is the facts that the lady was just talking about have not really been ascertained by the people that really understand. And my problem is with this whole situation is we have an emotional issue that is being voted on. It's very easy to put a sign up on the road that says no spraying and not actually have the backup information that I needed to make a decision like that. So I really would suggest that to gentlemen here that you have the people that understand the depth of the situation and not the people that are emotionally turned on by a conversation like that was just prior to me speaking, that turns on into an emotional vote. And I think that's wrong to proceed on that issue. That's fine, you can laugh about it, but the facts are not that way. Also, the clear-cutting issue that is being brought up is not an issue that is really a farm issue. If you look at the numbers, and I got just a paper here this morning that talked about the number of acres that are being deforested for urban consumption, plants, roads, houses, that's where the permanent deforestation comes into place. It's not the farming community that takes the harvest off and replants it, mandated according to the Fair Practice Act. I'd like you to think about these three facts that I mentioned here and give us some consideration. And most of all, I feel that this is not an issue to be voted on. This should be decided by the people that know what they're doing. Thank you.
Thank you.
You don't have to plot.
Thank you.
I would ask that we show respect to whomever is speaking.
Yeah. Deborah Fans.
Good morning. Thank you, Wayne, for your synopsis and for presenting what your heart and mind is guiding you to do in this process. I would acknowledge to the commissioners that I understand that you are representing two diverse groups of constituency, and I hope that there are creative solutions and judiciary will help make clear what benefits and what does support the constitutional right to safety and well-being for the people of this county. I am one of the 6,994 people who are in favor of this measure, of this plan to ban aerial pesticide toxic spraying without informed consent. One of the things that I would challenge about going before the state legislature and Hovey introducing his legislation, how many times have these kinds of measures that have been proposed that will increase the salmon-bearing streams protections, that will look out after the interests of the ecosystems, how many times have those made it out of committee? Not very often. It's disturbing and depressing to look at the aerial views of what's happening in our county as the resource extraction is going on here. If nothing else, this measure has awakened a lot of people to the trends, to what's going on in our county, and to ask questions about why is it we don't seem to be able to make any changes happen. Who is it who wants them to fail? Who wants to take care of the health of our ecosystems? Who's paying attention to the health of the people of this county? I know that you are under oath to be participants in that whole picture of balancing, finding reasonable solutions. And I, too, would like to be part of dialogue that is meaningful. And I take exception to the comment that maybe we don't know what we're talking about. I've been on a learning curve, and perhaps some of you have joined me where it's going straight up. We're entering into phase two where we're going to learn about litigation. Just for the record, I would like to present the paper that is from the CELDEF organization, the Community Environmental Legal Defense Fund, who has offered pro bono services to support this litigation for the county and for all of us in the county. And I recognize that you have a choice to say yes or no to that, but I would like the public to be aware that that is on the table.
And I think maybe just to respond to that real quickly, they can come and participate in the litigation. We'd hope they do so. There is local representation and has been, supporting the ordinance throughout the state, and there are attorneys, and they will be involved in the litigation. Whether or not, this group chooses to or not, there's going to be representation for that, a legal voice in the process involved already. So,
I guess what I'm addressing is that I've heard people express concern about we're going to break the county budget because of that, or
and that's a good point. Unfortunately. Because I am a lawyer, litigation is what we do. It doesn't matter whether we're doing this or something else. It puts some pressure on my office in terms of participating, but it's what we have to do. It's what we do. So in that sense, yes, there will be a great deal of time and effort expended, but we're going to do that.
And I would also comment for the public benefit that there are also resources available to the county for an insurance policy that helps to meet any claims of, I can't think of the term that I'm looking for.
Liability?
Yes, liabilities, that sort of thing. So thank you for letting us come today and to have our say. I appreciate that. And May we all find a way to win in this situation.
Katrina Wynn.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, first off, I really want to express my appreciation. I heard Mr. Belmont express that the Board of Commissioners actually supports the autonomy of our county on many issues and our right to govern ourselves. And I think there's a great deal of people who voted for that and are really holding you up to that standard. And that standard also includes all the things that have been brought up already about our health, our welfare, of our children, of ourselves as human beings, as well as our environment and nature and animals that cannot be here to speak for themselves, nor could they vote. I speak first as a forester. I've been a forester in Lincoln County since I moved here 27 years ago. When I purchased my property of over 200 acres, it was absolutely clear-cut, raped, and a real mess, and they left a lot of trash. And I spent years cleaning that up, but not once have I ever needed to spray anything. Any kind of release that I've done manually or through some machinery. We've even brought in horse teams to do some selective logging to put structure into the stream to enhance salmon habitat. So I've dedicated myself to the environment, and I'm really in touch with it. And I'm also a member of the organization that a previous speaker just spoke from. I happen to be a forester who does not agree with what people have been saying is what we need to do to protect our supposed industry of forestry and agriculture. So there are alternatives. I believe it is a lie to say that this ordinance is going to disrupt that. No, what it does is it forces you to change your priorities in the ways that you do business to where it meets the environment, it meets the needs of your neighbors, and doesn't put your needs before theirs. There's plenty of examples where people do a cost shift, where they say, well, it's going to save me money to do this type of forestry practice, but I don't care if it costs you your health. I don't care if it costs you your life. I don't care if you have to spend the rest of your life spending off medical bills. And that is wrong, and I'm so sad and hurt about that. I'm so sad that our neighbors don't see the larger picture and see systemically how we affect each other. And so that is my purpose for being here in Lincoln County. It's the only reason for being here, is to protect the environment and to protect people. And that's what I do professionally as a counselor. I'm helping people be whole, and I'm helping the environment be whole and balanced. And I'm holding you as our commissioners up to that standard. And I can give you plenty of examples in my experience in 27 years where the county has made up their own understandings of what state law means, where they've come up with their own conclusions of what the county ordinances are. And I'm very good at doing legal research, and I can give you plenty of examples of that. And I'm challenging you now to do that because you are all family people. You have families. Many of you have children. And I know you care about the environment. I'm asking you to step up and not just listen to the same old fearful things about lawsuits. I didn't even heard some of you say we have deep pockets and that we have a legal counsel that can back up these fights. And I'm asking you to fight for us now. I'm asking you to put your pants on and be strong and make this a line in the sand and don't let it back. Don't back down. This is an emotional plea to you. And I'm just showing you my heart, and I'm being vulnerable. And I know there's a lot of other people here who feel the same way. And yet, within the legal system, we're not always able to express ourselves that way, but I'm expressing myself that way today. I hope you hear that loud and clear. I hope you hear that everything I've ever done has been to protect the land and to care for people and to send love out into the world. And that is the message here. The message is love. It's not fear. It's not hate. It's not profit. It's about loving and caring about your neighbors and also setting a precedent and something that's going to carry us into the future and the next generations. And I hope you're ready to fight for us. Thank you very much.
Susan Swift.
Hello. Thank you again for having this hearing. Can you tell us the entity of the plaintiff who has filed the challenge?
It is actually a landowner in Lincoln County. It's a plaintiff.
But is that going to be available public?
Yeah. I will post the actual filings on our website. We'll have a page.
Okay.
We'll make a connection to the front page. If you just go to Google
okay.
Lincoln County, Oregon, you'll be able to get in, and we'll post the filings that are in there.
So we're going to include this?
The complaints, okay. The initial complaint and supporting materials. Yes, I'll make sure.
I know one of the frustrations about the concept of state preemption is that, like, I was in front of state Board of Forestry hearings in the 70s and the early 80s as we really tried to fight this. The pesticide, herbicide spraying has actually been going on more like 50 years. And it started with the first Dow Chemical Research Grant at Oregon State Department of Forestry, where they wanted to figure out how to use surplus Agent Orange instead of getting rid of it. And the federal government started using it on the Siusla National Forest as well as other forests. And then I was a resident of Five Rivers then. I was one of the members of Citizens Against Toxic Sprays who sued the Forest Service. We were able to talk to the county because they were spraying a similar kind of herbicides, and we were getting it from all sides. And there were some really horrendous things that happened, but a lot of information came out during that time. And if any of you county commissioners have not read A Bitter Fog by Carol Van Strom, I highly recommend it. It's not just the story of what happened in Five Rivers. It's the story of fraudulent pesticide registration through a whole lab called IBT. It was a big thing that was discovered in the 80s. It also talks about what it takes to get any one single pesticide off the market, which is a long involved thing. I won't get into that. But there's always a risk-benefit analysis, and what you see is the people experiencing the risks are not the same people who are getting the benefit. And that's a problem that has been well documented in this county for at least since the doctors spoke up in 1980 and wanted to get a stop to the increased birth defects and miscarriage rate in the county. I've seen that the State Forest Practices Act is pretty much written by the timber companies, and your pesticide state laws are pretty much lobbied by your chemical company. So it's local control is really becoming very, very important across this whole country. And also the concept that an ecosystem or an estuary has rights is also becoming a global problem. It's not just something that we're thinking about brand new here. You have the country of Ecuador who actually wrote it into the Constitution that a river has rights not to die, not to be killed. And every day we're reading in the news recently, I think it was in Africa, some Chinese mining company just destroyed an entire river system. And that was recently. So we're really getting more information about global problems, but as we think globally, we have to act locally, and so that's why I'm really grateful that the Citizens for Healthy County put this ballot measure on, and that they backed it up with a nonprofit ready to fight it in every way they can. And I think that if we get to the basics of the Oregon Constitution, as Maria pointed out, it's mainly for protecting the safety of the constituents. Anyway, thank you very much, and we'll be following. I want to say, I was on the Lincoln County Planning Commission for many, many years and was elected chairman at one time, and it was really amazing because I was so vocal in the anti-herbicide movement. I called myself, an herbicidal maniac. I've worked on this for 10 years. I helped fund and start the Northwest Coalition for Alternatives to Pesticides. It's now the Northwest Center for Alternatives to Pesticides. Very active since 1977. This is their 40th anniversary. They have an office in Eugene, and they publish alternatives for everything. And their book that they put out is designed for people to copy and share. But when I was on the County Planning Commission and was chairman, I had attorneys for Boise Cascade and Weyerhaeuser showing up at every meeting arguing whether or not I had a right to an opinion as a chairman. And that was take on 45-minute talk one time just to try to stop me from having an opinion. I was just running a meeting. So I understand what pressure can be put upon individuals by corporate entities. And like I say, got to think globally, act locally, and protect our water. It's the most precious resource that we have. Anyway, thank you very much.
That's all we have on the list.
I'll give you one last chance. Is there anyone else who'd like to testify? Take the board, sign your name. Two people.
Have a pretty quick statement.
Introduce yourself.
I'm sorry. My name is Vicki Dunaway. I'm from Depot Bay. I went to Virginia Tech, which back in those days, a long time ago, was known as a cow college and agriculture college. And my subject of interest was horticulture, and I also studied biology. And those were the days before organic farming was at all. there was very little organic farming. It was just getting started. It was mostly being done by hippies that went back to the land. I was at Virginia Tech, which was very much controlled by and funded by people who made and sold pesticides and fertilizers, and most of the support for the agriculture department came from those people. And I was trying to tell folks there, well, maybe we should look at some of these other alternatives, because I was studying it on my own, just as an individual. I was doing some organic gardening in my backyard and had a lot of successes and a lot of failures. I was pretty much laughed at, just like most of the old hippies, or they were young hippies then, were being laughed at. And everybody said, well, this is just, you can do organic gardening in your backyard, but it will never work on a large scale. Well, all you have to do now is look at the organic farming industry. All of the work, the initial work, was done by people like this lady here, who had small-scale farming or gardening and learned the techniques, studied, really worked. And these are people who knew what they were doing. They were not ignorant people. And I resent having people called ignorant just because they oppose this bit or this spraying. There are other ways to do what needs to be done, and that's what we need to look forward to. And I hope that people will keep that in mind and think about the possibility of a better future. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, let's see what else we got here.
Ellen?
This is more of a...
Please introduce yourself.
Ellen Bristow, resident of Newport. And this is just, I'm taking advantage because I forget things. I'm old. Do you have any idea, Wayne, how long this process is? And my only reason for a timeline is please don't let any judge do this on 8/21. Don't even do it in August. Is there any ability to control that 1 month in this very interesting, important discussion?
Let me answer that one quickly.
Yes, please.
We have been in discussions with the court on 8/21. There will not be court.
Excellent.
Other than
excellent.
What absolutely has to happen.
Well, that, if they start hedging that way, tell them it absolutely can't happen then.
Yeah, I think that it'll actually move through the local process fairly quickly. It's hard for me to say. I mean, it depends on you know, the courts I know are extremely busy right now. But I think it could move through fairly quickly locally. Locally means a circuit court.
No, okay, so you're saying it could happen in June or July?
I don't know if it'll happen that quickly, no.
Okay, so then we skip August, so we're looking maybe September?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm not even saying, I should, that's, you know, I'm not, I can't control the court's docket. I wish I could.
Can you control them on August 21?
Yes, we can. Thank you. I mean, no, they're aware of the issues and they are going to control themselves.
We can't control them.
We can suggest this is not a good time. Okay, so, all right, thank you. I know that's a goof.
Ellen, I'm old too, so I can relate to you.
Okay, thank you.
Alicia Kern.
Alicia Kern, Newport. We the people. That's what you want, I want you to think about. That's who spoke for this election. We the people. The people decided what they want. So please, listen to the people. They're the ones that have voted you in. Remember that. As far as the direct action is concerned, if the sheriff would enforce the law itself, there would be no direct action. But when Ford says he's not going to enforce the law, yes, it could encourage direct action. So keep that in mind also. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. We've come to the end of constituent input.